This is Conversations with Candidates. I'm your host, Cal Halliburton, and it's our pleasure today to be talking with Jim Carlin. Jim is seeking the Republican Party nomination as a candidate for the United States Senate for Iowa. He served in the Iowa legislature from 2017 to 2023, and while in the legislature, he was instrumental in passing the heartbeat bill. He addressed elder abuse at the Iowa Veterans Home and the mismanagement of the Veterans Trust Fund. He also introduced legislation to implement active shooter training and infrastructure in all Iowa schools and a property tax freeze for seniors. Thank you.
You
Since
bet.
leaving the Iowa Senate, Carlin founded the Iowa Liberty Network to help recruit constitutional conservative candidates to the Iowa legislature. Carlin characterizes himself as a veteran, a father, a grandfather, and a Christian. He's also a practicing attorney and lives in Sergeant Bluff, Iowa, with his wife, Donna. They have been married for 29 years and have three adult children and three grandchildren. Jim, tell our listeners something about yourself that they'll not find on your website or with a search engine.
Well, I'm a big sports guy. I am a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, a big Red Sox fan, and a New York Islanders fan. So in hockey. So sports is my little side gig when my mind's not on politics. I like to read up on those things a little bit for fun.
I assume you've been moving around the state and talking to people. And as you do that, what are their most frequent concerns?
I think President Trump really changed the game for a lot of people. I think he changed the frame of how we see politics. I think right now with media outlets like yours, there's a lot more out there. And because there's a lot more media outlets out there, there's a lot of things that are getting out there in the public square that never had a chance to before. And so I guess the information that people are getting, in my mind, is a lot better. It's a lot less controlled, certainly. And it's also given people a voice in the media square, in the public square, that has grown. And so, like, I see a level of engagement since President Trump got elected back in 2016 that we've never seen before. And so the realities of politics and the perspective on trusting the process and the people that represent us has changed as more and more information gets out there.
With that additional information, what is it that people are telling you is on their minds the most of the time?
Well, I think economic security obviously is a big issue. With 20% inflation, $37 trillion in debt, the trajectory of the economic well-being of retirees. Like, for instance, retirees, I don't know if you know this, one in eight retirees had to go back to work after last year. 20% inflation, the reality is one in eight retirees goes back to work. It now costs families an extra $1,000 a month to meet the bills. You know, I think economic security is a huge issue. And I think the government, unfortunately, has created much, if not all of those concerns, whether it's the Federal Reserve flooding cash into the markets and real estate markets during COVID, to where we saw the price of housing explode, the inflation generated during the Biden administration, the healthcare costs tripling, the student loan costs. So, like, collectively, cumulatively, the citizens of this country have taken a huge hit at the behest of government. I think we need to look at what are the controlling influences, who are the people behind the scenes pulling the strings, and which politicians are going to be controlled by those things and which ones aren't, because we want the people that are not controlled so we're not controlled. And I think President Trump, I think one of the things we love about him, I don't think they can control him, and he's been able to do a lot of great things for us.
Assume that you're elected. What is it you really want to do?
Actually, you did a pretty good job covering some of the things I was able to get done in the State House. I think those things reflect a concern and a desire to protect people, whether it's children or the elderly or our veterans. And I would bring that same frame to DC. And so, like, when I look at the big picture of things, I do have very real concerns about the economic security of my grandchildren, my children, seniors. I did nursing home ministry for 18 years. You get to see firsthand how well people are treated and what they need. And some of the things I would like to address real quick, we have to clean up and bring some semblance of financial stability to our dollar. Whether that's capping the money supply, a balanced budget amendment. You know, if the government can know when I take $600 out of my checking account, is it too much to ask that we see how the money's being spent on the other side? We need some tracking system, and we have the capability to do that. We need to have a bird's eye view of how the money's being spent. I think we do need campaign finance reform that gets rid of super PACs. A constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United so that politically we're not so controlled and so constricted by corporate interests. I think we need to get some semblance of free markets back into our market sectors across the board, because it affects our market participation on price and quality of things, whether it's healthcare or ag inputs or whatever it is. And I do think we need to put America first. Since World War II, we stopped making things, and we've seen the economic realities that were caused by that. We really truly are, and President Trump is spot on about this. We're being exploited big time by other. If tariffs don't work, why do they work for them and not for us? Why do we allow hundreds of billions of dollars of intellectual property be stolen from us annually? Why are we these terrible people for wanting a border to protect us from people we don't know in our southern border? We haven't vetted. We know nothing about them. And President Trump's right. There's a lot of bad actors coming over that border, and that needs to be done. So that's just a thumbnail sketch.
Let's try another issue here. How about the healthcare system, which seems to be out of control with finances? Is there something we can do about that? Some folks are suggesting Medicare for all, others are wanting to put great restrictions on what we can do. What do you think about that?
Obviously, you want people taken care of, but when Obamacare was created, I do some medical malpractice, so I've got a front row seat to what's going on in the hospitals, and I come from a family of two physicians, a neurologist, an emergency room physician. My dad said to me back in the 80s, the greatest threat to healthcare is socialized medicine. You know, it was represented to us as being affordable. The reality is, he created a monopolistic model of healthcare that took our voice out of cost and quality, that ostensibly functioned as a tax on healthy people. I think Obamacare is a tax on people. If you're a couple that's 60 years old, married couple, 60 years old, Cal, over $2,000 a month for premiums.
How
And
much?
the only way you're going to get it's two, yeah, so it's north of $2,000 a month right now if you're a married couple over 60 and you're healthy. The only way you're going to get the price down, you have to decentralize the marketplace. Obamacare knowingly, unknowingly created a monopoly for a couple of providers. There's zero incentive for them to lower premiums. I think they pretty much come back every year, hat in hand to the Senate, and they get their 11 to 13% a year, which you and I pay for. So I think we have to get rid of some of the overregulation, the barriers to entry, invite more market participation. That way, the people have a voice on the price and on the quality. They're not going to have that voice unless we reconfigure the market structure into certain something that bears more semblance to a free market model.
One of the problems with winning this general election is money. What do you think about regulating money in politics?
I personally think we need to get rid of super PACs. Super PACs give bad actors, they give corporations, they give foreign countries access to the money that goes into campaigns. So if they make a high dollar donation, Cal, into a nonprofit corporation, that nonprofit corporation turns around, puts the money into a super PAC. None of that's traceable. You write me a check for $25 or more. They want your name, address, and employer. So again, it's this double standard that affects the common people, the everyday, the farm, the regular everyday people. It facilitates a lack of transparency from the big boys, and that has to be fixed. I also think that looking at capping donations, like Iowa, like state elections in Iowa, the federal elections have a cap. The state ones don't. You can write as big a check as you want to for the governor's office, for any statewide office, any state rep, state senator. I don't agree with that. We have to find a way where the people really have a voice on the field of politics. I don't think they do. You can talk all day long about election reform until you take the process out of the hands of big money donors who can exact an enormous amount of leverage. You're going to have a harder time getting people who actually represent the people elected.
Well, how are we gonna do that?
RFK floated this idea of a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. I would agree with that. I do think we need to take our process out of this big money control model that we have right now. You can figure out the way to get it done if you have the will to do it. Like I created the Iowa Liberty Network, and I was in the state house 6 years. I know the game, and the frame and the agenda is largely defined by bigger corporate, bigger donor interests, and that's the reality of it. But here's another reality. I learned you don't need a majority to get good things done. You just need a minority with a spine and a will to do the right thing. Just this past session, and I'm sure you know this, Cal, 11 senators in the Iowa State Senate said, we're not going to give you a budget unless we have this imminent, we're not going to allow a CO2 pipeline taking of our private property rights. We won't give you a budget unless we get that bill to the floor. The governor vetoed it. She made the wrong decision. When you take a stand for stuff like that, you pay a steep, very real political price. Pay a price for standing up for the people of Iowa. I don't think most people in Iowa know that.
Well, thanks again for coming on and sharing.
Okay, thanks.
You've been listening to Conversations with Candidates with Jim Carlin, who's seeking the Republican nomination for United States Senator for Iowa.